Welcome to Wolf Den's Dogs in the Den, your weekly insight into the fastest sport on four legs. I'm here with JC. Boy, do we have a show today, mate.
Action-packed. Races to cover from Sandown and Wentworth Park. Golden Easter Egg is heating up, but yeah. We've got the heats on Saturday night.
Yeah, it'll be big. So we bit of a lull after the Australian Cup, but we're about to really launch back up again for the Golden Easter Egg, and we're going to have a good chat about that. Let's just quickly go through our show rundown as we always do. So we're going to have a look at the launching pad semi-finals from last Thursday night. Then we'll move on to do a bit of a preview of the final, which is on this Thursday night. And then we'll move on to the Golden Easter Egg. We'll have a big, long discussion about that. JC's Thursday set, which was very good last week. Well done.
Thank you.
And then we just have a bit of a look at what's happening moving forward, as you know. Let's rip into it. Why don't we go back and watch semi-final one from last week of the launching pad. And we're looking at Lakeview Emily out of box one. Let's see what she did.
Well, there's a very important part in this race that happened prior to the race even running, and that was the first reserve there, number nine, Patchu Later, gained entry into the field with the scratching of Shrewd Sticker, and he begun best, and he just held out You Never Lose in that first corner. That allowed Lakeview Emily to scoot through, and then the dog that runs second, I'm a Mustang, was a huge beneficiary of the reserve being in the race. You Never Lose just was unable to, get close enough to Lakeview Emily, and his little heart broke there. So Lakeview Emily ran 29.31, the fastest qualifier from the semi-finals, and will be a very raging hot favourite in the final.
Yeah, we'll come back and have a look at the mark at the end of this. To keep things brief, we're going to go look at the results for semi-final two now. We're not going to watch the race, but just tell us what you see there for the semi-final two.
Yeah, well, Humidity, he stepped best once again, and he was brilliant. He went straight to the front. Kanya Exceed and Mapunga Luna were just unable to get into the race. They just really didn't push forward on that first turn. He's run 29.50, which was roughly about 8 lengths quicker than his heat run. So he's really improved there, and he's got to inject a lot of speed into this final.
Okay, we're going to watch semi-final three now, and we're looking at Mapunga Award from box one.
Yeah, number five here, Zelda Chaos, absolutely shanghais out of the lids, runs 4.99 to the first mark. On High Alert in box seven, musters quickly across to sit outside, but Mapunga Award, he just gets a drop on him, an eerily similar race shape to his win in the heat. And once he got to here, he just had two, wouldn't say questionable dogs at 500 metres, but definitely dogs that do their best work in the first half of the race, and he's just too strong late here. I got this race wrong. I thought he'd be I didn't think he'd get that spot, really. So he's got to be a bit tested in the final. He's got a tough box draw, but we'll definitely go through that very shortly.
Okay, let's move to semi-final four, and once again, we're just looking at the result. Anything of interest here?
Yeah, well, similar to Humidity, Cruising Debbie produces a 5.03 first section, which is absolutely flying. Mrs. Easy just couldn't keep her out in that first turn. Ethanol Volume, extremely unlucky not to qualify, just a get-back wide-running dog, much better suited over the 600 metres. I'd probably take him out of this race going up to the 600 metres at the Meadows where he's unbeaten in two starts. But Cruising Debbie qualifies, as does the South Australian Peaky Boo for Ben Rawlings. So those two will probably go around slightly longer in the market. But, you know, if the cards do fall their way, they've got the ability to win the race.
So let's go and look at the final marker now. We've got the box draw as well. Just quickly remind everyone, what are the conditions for this race?
Yeah, well, at the start of the, the heats, it was a 1-6 win. You only could have won 1-6 at the start of the heats for dogs that have had less than 30 starts. Mm-hmm. All those dogs now are lining up for good prize money. Lakeview Emily's got to start a raging hot favourite. And deservedly so. Her two runs, back-to-back wins in 29.27 and 29.31, absolutely exhilarating. Both those times are in the top 10 fastest at Sandown over the 5.15 for this season. And I think she's really well drawn here. She should cross the South Australian box one Peaky Boo early in the piece. And Mapunga Award, as we saw there from box one, he does like to use the track a little bit. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do that here with the likes of Cruising Debbie, On High Alert and Humidity looking to push across. And with that, I think Lakeview Emily will find the bunny. She can produce that 29.30, and there's just no dog in this field that can run her down. And for all those reasons, Rich, it's an official Thursday set tip.
Exciting.
Yes, official Thursday set tip. Lakeview Emily just boxed to perfection and can't see her losing this race.
Okay, fantastic. All right, let's keep rolling. So let's start talking about the Golden Easter Egg. And I'm a bit of a novice with Greyhound Racing, as people know, but I feel like the Golden Easter Egg has always been arguably one of the biggest races on the Greyhound calendar each year. There's other races that have come into fruition over the last couple of decades, which is a great thing.
Yep.
But it's still very much up there. You want to talk a bit more about the Golden Easter Egg?
Yeah, well, I guess prior to, as you mentioned, those races coming into fruition, such as, I guess, the Sandgrope or the Phoenix, the Million Dollar Chase, those type of slot races or really high prize money races, the Golden Easter Egg and the Melbourne Cup were both the two races for the most prize money that every trainer across Australia wanted to win. Mm. It's been going since 1990, where the first winner was a dog by the name of Ultrasense. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the honour roll, we've got brilliant dogs, dogs that have shaped the industry, such as Brett Lee in 2001, Fernando Battle in 2015, and Tommy Shelby in 2021, who's going to, he looks like he's got to shape the industry going forward, especially the stud game. And that was a race record, 29.27. And She's a Pearl in 2022, who was absolutely superb. I think she won about 9 or 10 on the bounce, winning the Million Dollar Chase, I think slightly after that. So it's been a great race, and I'm sure every trainer out in Australia, if they haven't won one, they still want to win one, even though the prize money isn't as lucrative as an MDC or the Phoenix.
Mm. So talk us through. We start on Saturday night, and you love it because you've got the best greyhounds from Australia scattered throughout these 8 heats.
Yes.
And it's a really good night to just sit back and watch them all run and see what unfolds. So let's start and let's look at, so up on the screen they've got Winnie Park Race 3 and it's Heat 1. You can see there also you're tipping Furness. So why don't we start with your tip in the race and talk to us about how you see the race unfolding.
Yeah, well, it was great early speed in this race. Zali Keeping produced a 5.39 first split last week here. Furness can begin on his night, same with Scalacci and Shimmer Current. Just can't see the dogs out wide getting into this race with all that speed drawn from 1 to 4. And I think with the grounding that Furness has had here now at Wentworth Park, he's had 3 starts here. The last 2 have been behind Zipping Megatron. I just think he can hold out the Victorians on that first corner. Often you find with Wentworth Park, and it'll be, we'll probably mention it deeper into the heats, it's a very different stadium or track, I guess, to the other tracks, especially the Victorian dogs that haven't raced at Wentworth Park. You've got the massive skyscrapers, the bright lights. It can be a little bit difficult for a dog going there for the first time, and they can sometimes run off on that first corner. So I think Furness in box 2 really looks good value there at $8.50. So he's going to be hard enough to hold out.
So these are the heats.
Yep.
What do you have to do to get through the semi-finals, which are the week after, and then what do you have to do in the semi-finals to get through to the final, which is the week after on April the 13th?
Yeah, well, with the heats, there's 8 heats. The top 4 dogs in each heat will move on to the semi-finals on the following Saturday, and then from there there'll be 4 semi-finals run and won, and the dogs that finish in the top 2 in each respective semi-final will then line up in the final on the 13th of April.
And then you've got a couple of reserves as well, obviously.
Correct.
Yeah, cool. All right, let's keep rolling. So we're going to go to Winnie Park Race 4, which is Heat 2. And why don't you talk to us here?
Yeah, speed here expected from Gets Late Early, Amiga Travis, Shanghai Susie and McKenna. They can all push forward here. Gets Late Early for me is the key piece of the puzzle here. She stepped in 5.35, which is absolutely sizzling from this box, winning the Group 1 Futurity in January. She's a noted wide runner, and I think it could be a fly in the ointment for the favoured McKenna. No disrespect, McKenna. She's a very, very fast bitch, and she definitely deserves to be talked about as the potential winner of this series. However, I think she's going to have her work cut out for her here. With all this playing out, I think there's a bit of a forgotten dog here in betting, and that's number 2, Mortified. Mm-hmm. Viewers right now, you'll see Kenya Exclusive in box 1 is in the race. However, come race day, that dog will be scratched, or it's already been officially scratched. So Mortified's got to get plenty of room to move here. Admittedly, she has somewhat deteriorated as she's gotten older. However, her best run is still good enough to take out a race like this. Obviously, a vacant box 1 and the box 3 dog wants to get off the track. So I think Mortified at $7 is another dog that presents great value.
Awesome. Let's keep rolling to Heat 3.
Yeah, well, this race lacks speed, in my opinion, compared to the first couple of heats. You've got Black Misery and Kangaroo Jack, who are good out, but they're not brilliant box dogs. Kangaroo Jack on his night can spear the lids. Black Misery is a bit more of a mustard type of greyhound. And I think that just sets things up here for the Group 1 Australian Cup winner, Tim Zhu. He's just going from strength to strength. He ran a personal best at the Meadows, winning that Group 1. I think it was 29.71. Don't quote me on that. I think it was around there. And he's got a really nice map here. Zipping Caleb in box 5. He's going to flop out like he normally does. And Rebel Ethics in box 7. I'm pretty sure he's been running over the 600 metres of late. So I think Tim Zhu can spear across, find a nice spot in running and prove too hard to hold out. And I think Black Tsunami there in box 8 looks not bad value in this race, probably one to play on the place line. He's a big 40-kilo dog from Tasmania. He'll like space to move, and he'll be roaring home in around 11:60. So Tim Zhu for me, one of the better bets of the night probably.
And Tim Zhu, the boxer's fighting on Sunday.
He is.
Which is Saturday night American. So that'll be, I'll be watching that for sure. Have you seen how tall the bloke is?
Yeah, he's looked about like two hands taller than him.
Crazy.
But when they were doing the little, whatever they call them, the little face-off, they look like they're having fun. So he looks like a nice guy. Wasn't too violent like the other ones.
Let's keep rolling. Heat four.
Yeah, most of the speed in this race is out wide here from the likes of the Victorian Gary Stunnon, who does drop back from the 600. So that might take a little bit of speed out of his legs. All Natural in box seven, the Queenslander, who just wins everything. He's got a picket fence next to his name. He's coming off a Bundaberg Cup win. He's got speed, as does Quantifiable. She has really good speed. So I think those dogs have got to push across here. But I think Zipping Remus here in box one, he was last seen a month ago in a heat of the Richmond Derby. He was a little bit unlucky. He jumped quite well, but was just unable to, cross Gobert's early. And Gobert's is a very, very sharp box dog on his night. Just drawn superbly here. Box two, Superstar Ethics, has really lit the clock up in the last couple of weeks, but only flops out of the boxes in 560 to 570. He's very strong in the back half of his race, can reel off 1140 home, which is absolutely crazy. He's got to be a really good 600-700 dog in time. But with him outside and Frankie Bear, who's more of a slow beginner and a muster type of greyhound, I think Zipping Remus can hold out the 7 and the 8 here. And he has proven he can run 29-30 around here. I don't think he'll do that on Saturday night, but he's still capable of running around that 29-50 mark, which will be very hard to run down.
Excellent. Let's keep rolling. Heat 5.
Speed here from Amiga Jacob, Tor Commander, Swindled, and Hurricane Rain, box 8. Here on the fresh side, coming off a 280 run at Wentworth Park last week. Found this heat incredibly tough. Zipping Megatron has won 7 of his 9 and is a budding superstar in New South Wales greyhound racing. However, he always needs luck in his racing. He's a pretty poor box dog, and he needs to, navigate a path through that first turn to be close enough to strike. Amiga Jacob admittedly has underwhelmed in his last couple of runs, but you only have to go back to last month where he was running around that 29.60, 29.65 range on the bunny. And I'm just got to trust the Metropolitan Trainer of the Year, Andy and Jody Lord, to have this dog ready to go on the big stage.
Awesome. Keep rolling. Heat 6.
Foran Banner and Nadal Sheba look the two main speed factors in this race. Aglan Luai has gone forward in the past from box 5. However, he does drop back from 3 runs at the 600, so he might not have that freshness in his legs. One Hot Bandit returns from a 77-day spell. He ran a luckless fourth in the 2023 Million Dollar Chase and is one of the more intriguing runners across the night. He enjoys room to move, so no surprises with his record out of box 8, having won 4 from 7. Could sprint well fresh here. Despite being the second outsider here, I think Foran Banner holds the key to this race. He's an extremely quick box dog, and he likes to run a lane or two off the track. If he does that, History's Coming, the Group 1 Derby winner, he's just going to get that room to muster through. History's Coming isn't a brilliant box dog, despite running his low 540s to that first mark, which might, deceive punters. But he's a really sharp muster dog. He can hit the ground running with acceleration, and I think he's just going to get underneath Foran Banner on that first turn and prove very hard to hold out late in the piece.
I remember when he won the Derby, I asked you, do you think he'll measure up in the Easter egg? And you were like, yeah, I think he can. And here he is.
Here he is. And his favourite in a heat off the red, $2.60 on Ladbrokes.
Let's roll to race 9, heat 7.
Yeah, Marvel Zombie should get first crack at the arm here, jumping from box 2. Agent Shirley can go forward. Gobert's by rule is a very good beginner. However, he has missed it his last couple, so I'm a little unsure what to do with Gobert's in box 8. Mm-hmm. I think Marvel Zombie, once again, outside of the field, however, a very important piece of the puzzle. He's a very consistent beginner, can generally reel off a 540 to the first mark. He likes to cut and run. I think that will set this race up for the three dog here, Agent Shirley. Peter Lagione, he knows how to train a big race winner, winning 2 of, the $5 million chases that have gone around. And I just think Nangar Larry, obviously Mitch Beer's dog. Yeah, so
be careful what you say here.
I've got to be careful. He'll run top 4. He'll qualify. However, I think he's got to be a little bit hard done by getting across here. I think Agent Shirley will get the first crack, bit like if you're watching races at Caulfield or Rose Hill. I think she'll get the one out, one back. More so just get the outside of Marvel Zombie sprint away. And Nangar Larry and Overflow Jill, will probably be finishing off into the placings. But I think Agent Shirley here, $4 seems a really nice price considering the map favours that she does have.
Okay, let's finish the night off with Heat 8.
Yeah, middle to wide boxes here with the speed, in my opinion. You've got Maya Hepburn, Alpha Zulu, Smooth Plane and Nangar Jim all looking to go forward. New South Wales Country Cup King Nangar Jim goes around here as favourite. He's going to be 3 weeks in between runs after winning the Tamora Cup. He's also won a Maitland Cup, and I think he's placed in a Bulleye Cup and a Goulburn Cup. So he's the one-track superstar in New South Wales right now, a one-turn track superstar, sorry. He just has to do it now on the two turns, which he has done in the past. He's run that low 29.70, so he's a very talented dog. The Victorians, Alpha Zulu and Smooth Plane, they bring the right form into the race, running around the likes of Explicit and Morton. They just need to handle the bright lights of Wennie Park for the first time, as mentioned. I think Maya Hepburn is the no-brainer in this race. I think she'll get first crack at the bunny. If she can lead, she can produce around that 29.70 to 80 mark, probably more higher 29.80 mark. And I think that could be good enough to win this race. I know it doesn't sound fast. However, with Zulu having his first crack at the track, Smooth Plane, Nangar Jim only producing a low 29.70s, 29.80 on the arm, especially at the $8.50, could be hard to run down, and she presents nice value.
All right, unreal. Marathon that you got through there, but well done. I mean, yes. I'm pumped for the night. I will definitely be watching it after an epic day of racing. Let's move to your tips, but before we do that, let's just quickly check in with your results. We're very accountable here in Dogs in the Den.
Have to be.
So you won from two last week, and you got a nice price winner for us. Talk to us about how your results are at the moment.
Yeah, well, Fun Police won, backed off the map. Hopefully some of the people at home tuned in and backed that one. 390 to 250, Rojo Diamond run second. Profit on turnover has increased, thankfully, to 6.8%, and our strike rate still sitting at 50%, as
it was last
week.
And that's based on SP, isn't it?
Correct.
And one thing we should say, for people who don't know what SP is, it's starting price. So whatever the price starts with the bookmaker's fixed odds, that's what we're basing it off. Yeah.
Correct. Well, for those playing at home, Fun Police, I did put it into the spreadsheet to see what I would have been if we had taken a 390 opening price, and the POT would have risen to about 14%. So that just shows how important it is to hopefully secure top odds. And with the three tips I'm going to run through now, potentially be around your local or whatnot and get those bets on early because
if you're winning anything over 5% SP, you're doing incredibly well.
Thank you. So, hopefully we can keep it up for the rest of the season.
Result. All right, let's get the Thursday set.
Yeah, we've got to head to Hobart. I've got three tips there. Race one, number six, Vintage Class. Has played bridesmaid in three of her past four outings against the likes of Fraser Prince, Call On Me, who had won five in a row, and Dealer, who had won nine in a row. So I think that's really strong form for this race. Has handled Hobart well in both her starts and won on track debut in 26.08, which is not a fast time, but an all right time for this grade, and definitely got lengths on this field. So I think she'll push forward and lead and win. Race two now, number five, Clairvoyant. Extremely talented chaser who is set to return from a five-month absence. He has raced pretty much his whole life in open company. The grading system down there in Tasmania, once you get a couple of wins, you do really rise in grade quite quickly, whereas other jurisdictions, you can get your two fifth grades and your two fourth grades and you can sort of work it around, whereas there you win your fifth, you're a fourth grader, you win your fourth, you're a third grader, and before you know it, you're versing dogs that have won 30 races and $100,000 in prize money. So his record probably doesn't do him justice. He had a stewards trial coming into this race and he run 19.37 over this track and trip. So he has recently turned 4 years old. So that makes him eligible now for Masters Racing for the pensioners. Every dog over the age of four in Tasmania gets their own little grade to race in, and he should be way too good for these. It'd probably be a short price. And race five, number eight, Buckle Up Alfie. Talented youngster has won five of his 12 starts. He is a slow beginner, and with that, I'm convinced he's much better suited at Hobart than he is Launceston. He's only had one start over this track and trip for the one win. There's a lot of speed in this race, which will really help him because he's going to be able to get back, run on. I'm not sure about the desire of some of these greyhounds around him. They've got pretty awful overall records, especially over this track and trip. So I think Alfie might open up a nice price, and Mr. Langer will be very hard to hold out late in the piece.
Love it. Hope they go very, very well.
Thank you.
Let's move to wrapping up and just talking about what we've got to look forward to. So there's obviously the Association Cup as well over the Golden Easter Egg Carnival. So no, there's nothing for that this week, but then next week the semis for that are on.
Yeah, it'll be heats. Be maximum three heats, judging on prior history. Potentially two. Got to see Val Policella. She's back. She won in brilliant fashion at Albion Park last Thursday night. And Palawa King will definitely go there and be very hard to hold out late in the piece. So excited for those.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. And we've got the New Sensation and the Magic Maiden. You want to tell us about those?
Yeah, New Sensation Group 3 race. Heats are on the 3rd of April. It's for dogs that are whelped on or after the 1st of December 2021. So I think we'll see the likes of Good Odds Cobber go in that direction.
And what venue is it on at?
That'll be at Wentworth Park over the 520. The final will be on Golden Easter Egg night. And then we've got the Magic Maiden Heats. Very important to watch those races on the 3rd of April, same night as New Sensation. It's a Group 3 race. A lot of the top trainers, they keep their best dogs back for that. It's a Group 3 race worth $25,000 to the winner. And we've seen a lot of really sharp dogs come through that series. One Hot Bandit's probably the recent one. I think he potentially won last year, the year before that, and maybe Zipping Remus also won that series. So those dogs go around short in the Golden Easter Egg. So definitely form to follow through the grades.
Fantastic. All right, just before we wrap up, we've got a punt party on April the 6th at the Hudson Hotel. It's for day one of the championships. We'll be out there. If you want to come and spend some time with us, you can go and hit the link in the description.
I booked my ticket.
Did you?
Good work. I'll be there.
You'll be there. It's just about booked out, so you need to be quick. But and we're definitely working on doing something greyhound related. Once we get this punt party out of the way, we'll turn our attention to something great around the greyhounds. Other than that, go support our merch store. It's the best merch in the game. You good?
Very good.
All right, up the den. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.